We're doing a sermon on parenting. And so here's the thing. If you are a parent or a grandparent, this is for you. Or if you know someone, or if you're even a kid, you can listen to how God wants us to do parenting so you don't resent your parents for it. And then you can see what a great calling it is. And listen, don't shut down if you're not a parent or grandparent, because you know what? We're all children of God. And God has something to say to each one of us. Amen? Amen? So we have to be open and willing to receive whatever he has to say. Amen? Okay. Now, last week, we talked a lot about a lot of stuff. But one of the things we talked about after our Joel is the parent playbook. And I don't have time to go through a lot of this, so I'm just going to go through it super quickly. We talked about the four stages of parenting. First, in like 1 to 7 year old, you're the commander, and it's yes because this, honey; no because that, son. And we're kind of like the benevolent dictator in parenting. But then as time goes on, and again, these ages aren't hard, fast, and sewn. You have to be open. Different people are. We're all made fearfully, wonderfully made individually. Number two is the coaching stage, and that's, say, from 7 to, let's just say, 13, I guess. I don't know, 12, 13. And then that's where you encourage their growth from direction, where we're the commander, to self-direction. And we try to give them consequences, give them more choices, consequences, so on and so forth. Then you go to counselor, and that's from about maybe 13 to 18, maybe roughly. And that's where you're encouraging their growth from dependence to independence. And then lastly, 18 until the end of days, you are going to be the consultant. And that's basically, you're there not to command or coach or counsel. You're there when they need you, at their request. They ask for help, you can give it. They open that door for permission, and you give it. And those are the four stages of parenting. We talked about the toughest job you'll ever love isn't the Peace Corps, it's parenting. And we said in this parent playbook, there's a bunch of do's and don'ts, and this is not an exhaustive list, but this is something that we all need to hear. And the last thing I would ever want is if anybody walks out of here thinking, I had a lot of people come up to me afterwards and online and say that were watching us online live stream and saying, oh man, I really did it wrong. And again, I'm glad that God's showing us stuff. That's wonderful, isn't it? But here's what you should not do. You should not, if you are in Christ Jesus, nobody feel like you're the loser parent, right? Nobody should walk out of here feeling condemned, because guess what? There is forgiveness. There is grace. His grace is sufficient for you, for me. There's no perfect parents. Okay, just so everybody knows, and online, nobody's perfect. So, what? No one's perfect. So don't think that that family has got it all together. We're all sinners. We all need Jesus Christ. We all need God's word to guide us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so first thing is, we talked about this. This is the 3-minute recap. It is. I'm just going to recap quick. Okay. The first thing we talked about last week, so if you didn't watch last week, you have to watch that online. Homefellowshipchurch.com. I guess we have a YouTube channel. And the first thing is, don't condemn yourself as a loser parent and give up. And you remember we talked about Adam and Eve. They had a perfect parent, God, who knew the word, knew how to apply it, and the kids still messed up, didn't they? Right? Okay, so our kids have a free will. So you could even get everything right and still things can happen and it would come out wrong. So don't condemn yourself as a loser parent. We talked about that. The Bible says, don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if what? We don't give up. And what does the enemy always want you to do?
Give up,
right? Oh my goodness, I can't do it. I'm the loser dad. I'm the loser mom. I'm the loser Christian. That's just where he wants you to be. Don't you dare listen to the enemy say that to you. You are fearfully, wonderfully made. God has a purpose and a plan for you. And he wants to teach you and instruct you according to his ways. And that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. God loves you. All right, so here's, so again, some do's and don'ts. avoid extreme parenting. We live in a wacky world right now. I mean, you wouldn't believe the stuff I hear every day. But we have to avoid extreme parenting. One, and if you have to err, I would err on this side, but you don't want to be the helicopter parent where you're over every single second of them hovering, because when they get to be teenagers, it doesn't work out so good like this. They have to bump their knees. They have to make mistakes. We have to stumble, and then we can help them, right? Okay, so don't be the helicopter parent. You don't want to be swaddling your 17-year-old. But then also, don't be the permissive parent to where, we just let them get away with whatever they want because they got to experience the world, and we want them to know what's going on, so we're going to expose them to stuff that we shouldn't, and it's not age-appropriate. Don't do that. Avoid those extremes. Okay, don't minimize or remove or be inconsistent with consequences for your children. Listen, God wants us to learn to obey. And God wants to teach us to obey him no matter what. And so how we do that, we teach our kids to obey us as parents. We're the authority, right? So we have to invoke consequences, right, for disobedience. Not because we hate our kids, but because we love our kids. That's why we do it. It's easier to do nothing. But God says, those who accept my commandments or hear my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. We live in a generation where everybody thinks, well, I'm just a Christian because I grew up in America. Woo-hoo! And it's the ones that obey him, Jesus says, are the ones that love us. We have to teach our kids to obey. Even in the garden, there were consequences with Adam and Eve, right? The one who says, hey, I know God, but doesn't obey him, and doesn't obey his commandments, is a liar. Liar, pants on fire, and the truth isn't in him. All right? God also disciplines those he loves, and everyone he entreats as a son is part of his love for us. Okay? And he says that the Lord disciplines everyone he loves and everyone he accepts as a son. That's part of his love towards us. And that should be our love towards our kids. All right. We also talked about, do encourage your children. Encourage them for any reason whatsoever. Build them up, as the Bible says. You guys know these in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Paul said, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart. Give them hugs for no reason. Tell them good job, especially when it comes to godly things. Hey, man, I see how you were just serving your brother. Thank you for helping out your mom. Thank you for being so kind. I watch you hold the door for that person. Man, son, that's fantastic. What a strong man of God you are. You know, you praise them for good, godly things. Capiche? And don't withhold good from those who deserve it when it's your power to help them, the Bible says. Everyone enjoys a fitting reply, that encouragement, and it's wonderful to say the right thing at the right time, Proverbs 15:23 says. And lastly, this is where we left off last week. God wants us to take from our heart, or his heart, that has received him as Lord and Savior, and to encourage those around us at whatever age. Amen? And you can do that. You don't even know sometimes what... You guys know, and forgive me, we're all just big kids, right? I mean, come on. You're in a big adult body. Let's just be honest. We're big kids. I'll just speak for myself, okay? I'm a big kid. We know. Okay. But here's the thing. I was up visiting my best friend, former professor at Liberty University, and he does UN training for the leaders things like that, and you guys know he's got in the last stages. He's supposed to die it could be any minute. We still pray for Lord's healing. God healed him once before many years ago, and he had 25, 30 more years. And one of the things he said to me that was super, super meaningful, you know, and we can all get depressed. He's used to be very strong. He's a dynamic speaker, and now he's, you know, kind of like a skeleton in bed. He can't hardly move, and he talks like this, and he just said, come here. And I was just sitting by his bedside. I said what is it, Mike? He said, come here. I said, okay. And he said, I've been having a hard time because I can't do anything. And I said, I'm so sorry, Mike. I know. He's like, I love the Lord. I trust him no matter what. I keep praying that he takes me to be with him. I know him. I trust him. And I said, yes, but I want to say thank you for being here with me. I said, oh, of course, man. And I was thinking, I don't even know what to say. Have you ever been there? Like you want to help, but you don't know the right words, right? And you know what he said to me? He whispered, he said, I want to let you know for the last few weeks I've been waking up just crying. And he said, I just want to let you know just some of your words and you being here has encouraged me. This is the first day I haven't woken up in tears. You don't know all that folks are going. Sometimes an encouraging word at the right time from the Father's heart can mean everything to people. So you take the time, encourage one another, especially your kids. Amen. Sometimes our expectations on them are a lot, and it gets lost in a sea of expectations. Bless them. Encourage them. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so here we go. So here's our list of do and don'ts. All right, here it is as we start off. This is number, what is it?
Eight.
That's what I'm saying, number eight. Number eight says, and this is importante, number eight says, don't be a prideful parent. Now, I realize this isn't a fun thing to hear, and I'm probably going to get some flack for this, but nevertheless, it is true. We don't want to become and be a prideful parent in our parenting. Listen, do you know what letter is right in the middle of the word pride? Sitting right on the throne. Proverbs 26:12 says, there's more hope for fools than for people who think they're wise. Don't be a prideful parent. I don't even know how to say this right, but don't think that you know everything. Don't be one of those who refuses instruction. I can't tell you the amount of times that I've had somebody come to me and say things like this. Here's a common verbiage of pride. It's, hey, I don't need to read a biblically based parenting book, Pastor Darren. I don't need some Christian parenting class to show me how to raise my kid. I don't need somebody to telling me how to discipline my child. I don't. Listen, if you're a Christian here, we need to be like Jesus, who is humble, right? We learn from him. And so anything that comes from the Lord, we should receive. Listen, I've got some, here's what he says, okay? This is from Proverbs 19:20. When it comes to God, he says, listen to advice. Because our prideful selves, we don't want to hear nothing, do we? The Bible says, listen to advice. He says, I want you to accept instruction. Don't rebel against it. And it says, in the end, you'll be counted among the wise. So listen to it, accept it. He says this. In Proverbs 9:9, he says, give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he'll increase in his learning. And here's the other side of it. If you're like, I don't need nobody to tell me nothing about parenting. Yeah, my mom did it this way, or we're Italian, we do it this way. Or listen, here's what it says. If you ever stop learning God's word and listening to what he has to say, or being open to learning new things in the Lord, this is what God says to you and to me in Proverbs 19:27. Stop listening to my instruction and you'll stray from the words of knowledge. Oh, I know enough now, Pastor. You know what? I don't know enough now. And I've been doing this for many, many years. Even Pastor Gary, who's doing this for like 100 years, he doesn't know enough. We're all still learning and we're all still growing. Amen? Now listen, I've got some parenting books. We're always giving away. This is biblical-based parenting books, okay? So this first one, it's probably good for about, it gives the groundwork. It's a mom's look or a dad's look at heart-oriented biblical discipline, okay? Why we do it, how to help your kids. Now listen, I can't tell you the number of these over the years that I've given away, and I've given it to some, and it's sat on their shelves. I just looked at somebody right that exact second. And then they and then they read it. They're like, oh my goodness, I should have read this 2 years ago when you gave it to me. This is incredible. And then they were recommending it to everybody. So listen, here, this is number one. And this is for, it starts off when they're one and it goes to maybe about a 12, but it still will give you, it's a very easy read. It's a fun read. I hand these out all the time. But if there's anyone who would like this book, free in Jesus' name. It's from a Ginger Hubbard. I did a parenting conference with me. She tried to convince my wife to have me write a book, a parenting book, and I wouldn't do it. And so, this is her book. If anybody wants one of these, it's free as a gift in Jesus' name. Okay. Pastor Garrett, would you back there? Thank you so much. Anybody else? One of these? Okay. Oh, there's two. Yeah. All right. There you go. The next book I have, which is a little bit deeper into heart-oriented discipline, okay? This is called Shepherding, and I'm doing this now. Usually I do it at the beginning, but I'm doing it now because if there's anybody online, then I want them to get it as well. This is, she's a friend of Ted Tripp's, and this is a lot deeper into the word and deeper into the heart. This is, you could use this for counseling, honestly. I use this because we're all big kids. This is fantastic. Very, very deep. It is made for parents, okay, and for kids. But this is a fantastic book. It's not a namby-pamby, but it will get to the heart. Pastor Gary, Mark, would you do me a favor? Would you text me and I'll get you one, okay? And right back in the back there, Pastor Gary. Yeah, thank you so much. And then I'll have some other kind of books next week. As you know, we're an equipping church. Anything biblical, anything godly, we give it away free in Jesus' name. This one's called Age of Opportunity. This is for your teen years. This is when it gets a little bit more difficult. This is his brother made it, Paul David Tripp. It's a fantastic book. And it's for more for the teen years. And I know there's somebody who wants it because you read my other two books, right? Were they not amazing? Okay. So if anybody's... Okay. All right. So you start on that one. I'll bring in more books next week, okay, for this. And I'll give you this one. You pass that back. Thank you so much. All right. So here's the deal. We just got to be careful not to be prideful and think that we got it all together. We have to be teachable. And that's just the way God wants us to be. And so we have to be able to take that instruction, learn and grow in the Lord. And so take it from me. I learned the hard way. And I can assure you, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And if you will just listen, if you will just take in some of these words of life, he'll change your thinking, he'll change your parenting, he'll change the outcome for eternity. And so I can't thank you enough for taking those books. Now make sure that you read them. Okay, now what do I do with my clicker? Oh, here we go. All right, so here we go. Next on our list, you have the do's and don'ts. Don't be a lazy parent. Don't be a complacent parent. Oh, you got two hands up. I got to get through this. Pastor Gary will kill me. Okay. All right. Would you, Pastor Gary, where's the, yeah. All right. Thanks. Thank you. All right. We do allow questions and comments, but just make them brief or Pastor Gary will kill me.
Talking about pride.
Yes.
Okay. A lot of parents are too proud to apologize to their children when they know that they're wrong. Mm. And that, I think, then the kids see right through it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good example. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have that in there later, but that's okay. It's still a good comment. Excellent comment. Yes. Betty, short now.
Well, it's kind of funny. What you was talking about, you know, biblical, you know, with your kids.
Yeah.
Okay, I was a single mother for 8 years to four. So I would be going around talking to myself, and the kids would be looking at me going, Mom, who are you talking to? I'd be like, Jesus. And they're like, okay, who did it?
You know what? Honestly, sometimes it – look – I talk to Jesus all the time now. I need help now. I need help when I talk to adults and with my kids. And when we mess up, the best thing you can do, even that is an example to them. You go and apologize. You ask for forgiveness. That's what a man or a woman of God does. A prideful person won't do it. I don't need to apologize to my wife for nothing. I don't need to apologize to my kids for nothing. Foolish. It's just prideful. Don't do it. But listen, here's the next thing. Don't be a lazy or a complacent parent. Oh, man. Now, listen, here's what Proverbs says, okay? 18:9. A lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. Or another translation says, a lazy person is brother to one who destroys. So if we're lazy parents, hey, I don't want to put in the work of a parenting class. I don't want to read a parenting book. I don't. Listen, right now media, Pastor Gary, next announcements. I would like to, we offer, it's a Netflix for Christians. You guys can come on in, have a seat. Yeah, you're okay. Come on in. So I embarrassed Caleb. So listen, here's the deal. This is like Netflix for Christians. And it's all sorts of things on parenting, on end times, on biblical teaching. We offer it free to everyone in the church and everyone in the school just so you can grow in the Lord. Usually churches hoard this for themselves. Do you know that? But we give it away free. But don't be a lazy parent. In other words, here's what a lot of parents do, and it's very easy to do this. Here, we got the Sunday school portables. We got kids back there, right? And here's what they do. We want to bring them to church so you could take care of them. Well, we want to do that, but we want to work with you. Or, hey, we want to bring them to the school. I want you to instill good, godly things in our kids. Well, that's okay, but that doesn't really work in the end. It starts at home. It starts in your heart, in my heart, and overflows from that. If it's not there, let me tell you, the last school we ran, we had, 100 plus families, 110 families in the school. And basically, I've watched it for many, many years. What happens is if you have that mindset, well, do as I say, not as I do. And, you know, what that'll work when they're younger, when they're older, they'll start to say, wait a minute, you don't really have a heart after God. You're not really going to church. Why should I go to church? You're not really reading the Bible. Why should I read the Bible? You're not really living for the Lord. Why should I live for the Lord? In fact, I kind of see you now as a hypocrite. So not only I'm back and far away from it. So the first thing is, don't be lazy. You seek after the Lord. It's your responsibility. It's not Pastor D's, Pastor Gary, Mr. Shelbar, the school, church, Sunday school. Miss Connie is wonderful. She loves your kids. It starts with you. Listen, here, after God gave the Ten Commandments to his people, he went and he said this. He says, listen, O Israel, listen, O my people. The Lord our God is one. And see if you can see, I hearted the you, so you know it starts with you. It says, does it say you should love? It'd be a good idea to. What does it say? You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. And then that I'm giving to your children. So first, it was supposed to be on our hearts, right? If it's not there, then we're just being a hypocrite. I'm not being mean. And if it's not, you can repent today and say, Lord, oh my gosh, I'm blowing it. I give me that heart. Give me that desire to please you no matter what. I want to be an example for my kid, not just to be an example, but because it's real. It's on fire. I love Jesus not just because I want to be an example to my wife or my family, which I do. I love Jesus because I know him personally. I love him. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not only my Lord and Savior, he's my best friend. I've got one that's passing away that's going to go be with my other best friend, and that's Jesus. Listen, he's live. He's risen from the dead, like we sang in that song. After it's on our hearts, Mom, our hearts, Dad, it says, then I want you to impress them on your children. Deuteronomy 6, 7, and 8 says, then talk about them when you sit at home, when you're along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Do you get it? Your heart. We're examples. You're not in the Word. Chances are, and now there's exceptions, because God, I've watched God do miraculous things. Some of you sitting here are exceptions. But overall, I've watched this. Word isn't important to you. Obeying the Word, reading the Word, going to church, never going to be important to them. That's why even if I just want to stay at home, well, of course, there'd be nobody here teaching, but even sometimes I just want to stay home. Oh, I just want to I want to sit this one out. I want to have hot chocolate. I just want to sit on the lanai. I just don't want to go today. You know. No way. Because I want to be an example for my family. And you know what? Sometimes you have to do hard things. If you want to follow the Lord, sometimes it's just not all easy. It's not all roses and rainbows like a lot of churches say. Oh, you just follow Jesus, you prance through the posies. It's all blessings. Sometimes it's a struggle. But there's glory in that struggle. And there's growth in that struggle. Does that make sense? Listen, here's what we're doing. And I love this scripture picture that I made up a while ago. 2 Timothy 2:2, and you can attribute this to your kids too. These things that God shows you first, right? And this is basically Paul speaking to Timothy, but I think we can adapt it to our kids and our grandkids and those around us. These things that you have heard from me, from my words, among many witnesses, commit them to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. You're laying out the path to life, step by step. Does that make sense? Don't waste these opportunities. Your kids are going to be gone. Right now, you want to rip your hair out. I get it. That's why I have a little bald spot back here now. I'm telling you, but it's going to be gone like that. All right, here we go. Here's another one. Don't discipline in your sinful anger. Now, this is important. Now, I realize that we're all parents. The parents here, it gets very frustrating, especially if you have a son or daughter who's hitting their sister or brother for like the fifth time. Ah! Or they're being disrespectful to you, right? Again. Or they've embarrassed you, right? Oh, I hate that one. We can't discipline them in sinful anger. It's just, we need to discipline them. We need to give them consequences, but not in that rage in the cage mode. Got it? Listen, Proverbs 29:11 in the New King James Version says, a fool vents all his feelings, or another translation, mine says anger. A fool vents all his anger and his rage, but a wise man holds them back or uses self-control. Listen, now, can I tell you, and I be honest with you, have I always done this perfectly? The answer is, and then you know what I do when I do that? I humble myself. It's very embarrassing. It's very humbling. And I go to them and I say, okay, Christina, you're new, so I'm going to use you. And that's, if you never come back, we'll know. And I get down on my knee and try to look them in the eye and I say, you know, Christina, will you please forgive me? And I'd say, Dad, I was totally wrong. I lost control. I'm yelling and screaming, and it's not a good example. And you're still wrong in what you did, and we're going to give you consequences. But Dad was wrong too, and I screwed up. Will you please forgive me? And that's how we handle it. And even that's an example to them. Does that make sense? And I say, will you please forgive me? Not forgive me, like take it or leave it, you punk. I say, will you please forgive me? Because then the control is in their hand. They can say yes or no. That's true humility right there. And there's two different types. Well, there's three angers. There's a righteous anger. Jesus, right? He overturned the tables, right? Do you remember when he did that? Okay, but most of the time when we're disciplining our kids in anger, is it righteous anger? Not so much. So here are the other two angers. One is called thumos. And it means, it's in Greek, and it means like that exploding, like volcano. Come on, most of you guys maybe have done it at some point, right? I'm not the only person here. Okay, well, let's just say that I am. Okay, maybe there's two of us that are honest here. But it's like that boom, that rage in the cage, that extreme violent. And it's the same word used in Ephesians, okay? It's cut off there, but it's Ephesians chapter 4:26 where it says, in your anger, your thumos, that volcanic rage, do not sin. And if you do, you need to confess it to the Lord, ask forgiveness of him, ask forgiveness of the person you're offending. In your anger, you can be angry. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm just so angry. I can't help it. Pastor, you don't understand. I'm so frustrated. I can't help myself. Listen, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. There's another kind of anger the Bible talks about, and that's orge. And that means a slow, everybody knows what simmering is? Okay, that's like you bring the water, it's just at the point where it's going to boil over, but it's not. And it talks about that simmering anger. And maybe you've been around somebody like that. And we can all get that way, right? Moms, dads, so much pressure, finances, kids don't know. And we're just like, the Bible says this, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everybody should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become orge, angry, simmering, angry. Because human simmering anger does not produce the righteous life God desires. Let that go. Pray for God's peace. Help me be a better witness to my wife, kids. James chapter 1, 19 to 20. And be quick to listen. That same verse. I have a different picture for it. Be quick to listen to your kids. Sometimes I can jump way too quick. I know what's going on. It's the same kid messing with the same kid again. I've gone through this 100 times. And I zip right in. I do the discipline, right? Bing, bang, boom. And then after I hear the story later, I got it wrong because I didn't listen. So be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Does that make sense? Okay, and again, when you do mess up in your anger, ask for forgiveness. Remember, even that's an example to them, like Lester was saying. All right, now this next one you're going to think is a mistake. It says, don't build up your child's self-esteem. What? Wait a minute, Pastor, did you get that wrong? You mean do build up your child's self-esteem? Nope. What kind of heresy is this? Listen, I said that right. Listen, we live in a culture where it's all about me. Now listen, Pastor, I thought you said the last sermon, you were talking all about how we need to build our kids up continually. Yep. And you talked about for 10 minutes how we're supposed to encourage one another, encourage our kids. Absolutely. But don't focus it on self, right? Every self magazines, MySpace, my media, Facebook, me, Instagram. It's all about how many followers I get, how many likes I get, how many people look at me. It's not biblical. Nobody stops and says, hey, is there something wrong? Listen, there's a difference between godly encouragement and building your child's sense of self-esteem, okay? One teaches them to be worshipers of themselves, and the other teaches them to ultimately focus on the Lord, okay? The goal is to teach our kids to be worshipers of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and not self. I really love this cartoon. And this was like, 1969, 70, 80s. I don't know if you can see it. It's kind of a bad little grainy. Explain these bad grades, right? And now today, they're yelling at the teacher, explain these grades, because it couldn't be about my son or my daughter, because it's me. Couldn't be my fault as a parent, could it? Yes. Oh, Michelle, okay. Michelle Barr has something to say. Pastor Gary, you've done what with the mic? You've just... All right. Nilezda. All right, thank you.
So for me, one of the most important things that I feel like I've ever learned about parenting, and And Darren said, if you have anything to say today, just raise your hand. And I said, what, that I suck at parenting? Because sometimes we feel like that. And, you know, the truth is that, you know, when we see this, that we look at just like the behaviors of what everybody's doing. But with the self-esteem, we have to remember that if we teach them God's word, we're teaching them how to decipher their hearts according to what God says, the creator of the universe and the creator of their hearts, of who he's made them to be, right? If we teach them that something that opposes what God's word says, we're creating in them like an idol in their own hearts. But if we tell them just how awesome God and how much God knows their hearts and knows our struggle with our hearts, we're teaching them way beyond what other people know about their hearts, you know, and that's what we're doing. Like when we're parenting, sometimes we buy parenting books and we're like, please help me fix my child, right? And we're looking to curb behaviors. We're looking to curb all these things that we see on the outside. But God's word is not about the outside and the behaviors. God's word's about the heart. And we teach them way beyond if we start teaching them, like, man, this is what's going on in your heart, and it's not a new thing to God. People have struggled with all these things, and this is how we take care of that, through confession and through his methods, rather than them keep on seeking these things of the world. And that's kind of where it starts, is you know, and some of these books really point to that, to teach them God's word according, and their hearts according to God's word. Because all the behaviors flow from that. It always starts there. So, you know, and that's what I think of when we talk about the difference between building up their self-esteem and building them up in Christ. Yes. We're building them up with just what the plan was from the get-go of how he created us.
Yes, so. just to let you know, the Satanic Bible is all about self. The main rule is do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. And it means it's all about self. So listen, you don't want to teach your kids to be worshipers of self. We want to teach them to know who they are in Christ Jesus and to empty themselves for him. Jesus, right? You remember in John 13, he's the king of the universe. And he came and he washed his stinky disciples' feet, right? And he said in John chapter 13, he says, anyone, the one who humbles themselves and learns to serve others will be the greatest among you. And the greatest among you will be the servant of all. Listen to this. Make sure your goals are biblical. Okay, there's going to be all the gurus that say, hey, build up self. And listen, we're wondering why our kids today, and I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. We're wondering why we have such self-inflated, self-important, self-centered teens and more so than we've ever seen. It's because we're instilling that in them. You ever watch any of the programs? The parents are the knuckleheads. The kids are really ruling the world. That's what they're getting. That's not how it really is. Listen, how many of those books, God says this, instead of building up their self-esteem, let them know they're esteemed by God. Does that make sense? There's a big difference. Let them know that they're to esteem others. Listen, when I try to bless you, when I try to encourage you, when I try to do that, it's out of love. I want to serve you. You should be wanting to serve each other. Listen, the Bible says this in Philippians 2:3. We're all trying to, pop psychology says, build up self. But Philippians 2:3, God says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in humility, I want you to consider others more important than yourself. That's a dying to self. Listen, in fact, if you want to get saved, if you want to really follow Jesus, listen, this is not my words. You're building all this self-esteem. It's about me. It's about me. No, it's about him. It's about him. The very first thing Jesus said to us, if anybody wants to follow me, the first thing that has to happen is, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, the first thing he needs to do is deny self, take up his cross and follow me. So what all that stuff you're building up is going to have to come down. Does that make sense? So don't build up their esteem. They are loved by God. They are all of the days were planned before one came into being. They are esteemed by God, and because of that, they're to pour out themselves to others for his glory. All right, real quickly. Here's another one. Don't be your child's, parent instead of his pal. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, don't try to be the cool mom that dresses the same as the teens and hangs out and you know, lets them get away with stuff that they shouldn't, that every sinful kid looks up to. I wish I had the cool mom that lets me do whatever I want to do. That's not a cool mom. That's a terrible parent. Or I just want to be the fun dad. I don't want to do any of that, you know, dad stuff, you know, like leading the family. I don't want to get involved in the discipline of it because that's work and I don't want to do that. Listen, we have to learn to be our kids' parent instead of their pal. They'll have their own friends. You know, you can be a friend of theirs later as they grow up. Right now, they need somebody to parent them. And that means doing hard things that they don't like sometimes. Sometimes that means saying no. Do you know what? If your mom and dad says no to you to something, sometimes it's because they love you. You hate me. Just the opposite, dude. I love you. You may not realize it yet, but I'm doing this because I love you. Listen. God chose Abraham. Genesis 18:19 says, "For I know him." When he chose Abraham to be the father of his people, he says, "I know him that he will command his children." He's not going to do it the wishy-washy way. He'll command his children. He'll be his parent and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Man, that's being a man of God. That's being a woman of God, right? And it shouldn't be done in a legalistic way. We will follow the Lord like a robot. No, it's done out of an overflow of love of the heart. It's just who I am. Capiche? Listen, dads, be a parent. Fathers, don't exasperate your children, but instead, you bring them up. Not mom, you too. Bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. If you don't know what to do, we can give you a little something to have a devotion. You can read once in a while to the kids or, okay, oh man, okay. How long, Gary, have I been teaching? 40 minutes. Okay, really quickly, the last few. Okay, oh man, there's, do spank your kids. Do discipline your kids or do spank your kids. Now, obviously, you don't want to be spanking a teenager. That doesn't go well. But and when I say spank your kids, listen, I'm not talking about what some of us grew up with, you know. We're not talking about an out of control. I even wrote this down so I made sure I made the point right. A biblical spanking is not a parent who has lost his temper and in frustration and rage vents it on a smaller child. That's more like abuse. A biblical spanking is never done in bitterness or rage or loss or control. It should never be done like that. It's something that's done out of love for your child, not something you do to your child. So we use self-control, and ultimately it's corrective and instructional in nature more than punitive. Sometimes I'm so mad at my kid, I have to just say, go in the room and go wait there, my little one, if he's going to get a spanking. And I have to wait because I'm too angry. And if I discipline in my rage, then I'm the fool, and I have to apologize. So I have to say, sometimes I'll make them sit there 15, 20 minutes. I just relax. Okay, go in there, handle this in a godly way. So nobody's perfect, right? I'm still working things out too. And why do we spank? Simply because God instructs us to. We are to submit to his authority, obey his word, and as we learn to trust him, we'll glorify him. And the main focus of godly discipline is ultimately that our child's submission to God's authority. So don't settle for curbing behavior. The goal of godly discipline is all about reaching the heart of your child. And the main heart, I wrote this down, listen to this, of a biblical spanking is a rescue mission. Its eternal purpose and function is to help save them, our kids, from a current selfish, self-centered sin nature and rebellious nature. Listen to what God has to say. Proverbs 13:24, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their kids. Those who love their children are care enough to discipline them. That's not my words now. That's God. He says in Proverbs 23:13-14 in the New Living Translation, don't fail to correct your children. I love this. They won't die if you spank them. Physical discipline may well save them from death and that rebelliousness in their hearts. Okay, yes, Stanley.
My dad told me before he passed away, was, if I did have kids, to use something other.
It's okay. Go ahead, buddy. That's okay. You're good.
Never do it with your hands because your hands are made for loving.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? And to be honest, we do. I've spanked my kids with my hands and they still know I love them, but I hear the heart in it. However, I also have used a paddle. And you know what? Here's another thing. Make it hurt. It's supposed to sting. So what I'll do, for example, I'll say, okay, man, whatever you did, son, I'm going to have to spank your butt. That's three spankings. I'm going to tell him how many. No, Dad, no. Now, you can ask. Okay, Elijah's Elijah's dipping down. Let's be honest, son. Let's be honest. Now, I know you're older now, but let's be honest, dude. In front of everybody, are you glad I disciplined you now? I mean, as you look back, be honest. All right. Because listen, and here's what we do, and we'd give them the three spankings, and let me tell you, if you don't make it hurt, that rebelliousness is going to grow in them. That didn't hurt much, let's do it. Okay, who's up for round two? So I make it hurt, and then I'd sit them on my knee, and I say, come here. All right, well, you need to ask forgiveness because you offended the Lord when you did that, you know, and you offended your brother too when you socked him in the face. That's not cool. You know, whatever. And we would go, we would ask forgiveness from the Lord, and we would ask forgiveness, right? And make it right. Capiche? All right. So, all right, I'm speeding through these. All right, I'm going to really speed. Okay, I'm going to just skip this one real quick. Do discipline your children with the goal of training their hearts to obey God's word. Don't discipline your children with the goal of simply addressing outward behavior. Listen, I'm going to keep this one super short for time's sake. But there were the Pharisees of the land, and they did everything for outward behavior. If you just discipline so that you can have peace and quiet in your house and not get at their house, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am, you're going to find out they'll yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yeah. And then when you're not looking, they'll do whatever they want to do. The goal is to direct them to God's heart in all these things so that mom and dad, when you're gone, they go back to God's word for these things, right? You're not always going to be in the picture. Capiche? So I'll leave that as it is just for time's sake. But here's what he said to the Pharisees of the law. He says this. He goes, oh, these were the religious guys whose whole point of life was to behave externally instead of living from an overflow of the heart that loves God. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. And that just means actor. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but the inside, they're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean as well. So instead of focusing on outward behavior, focus on the inside and the heart first. It's a lot of work, but it'll pay off in the end. And here is the last one. Do love on, pray for, and spend time with your kids. Listen, there's a scripture that says this, and it's in Ephesians chapter 5:16. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And it says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. You guys just went through the whole book of Joel. You're seeing prophecy right unfold right in front of you, just like the Bible says. Amazing, right? The days are evil and it's going to get worse. I hate to say it. It's going to get worse. Make the most of every opportunity that you're given with your kids. Love on them. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Be an example to them. Sacrifice for them. For him first. And then for them. Love. My friend who was dying, he whispered to me, he's like, what a dichotomy we have here. I'm dying and we're just hanging out together at the same time. He says, I think it's just with being with the people that you love in the Lord. And it's so true. You have an opportunity. see it as an opportunity, right? Not as how we think of it. Ugh. And then here's the last thing, and it's Baker's Dozen. And it's a perfect scripture picture. And this is in Thessalonians 5:17. And it says, never stop praying. Or my translation says, pray continually. There is a battle going on in everyone's hearts and minds. The darkness is coming in like a flood. If you don't see it, I pray in Jesus' name right now that he would open your eyes by the Holy Spirit of the living God. And he would show you what is going on. There's such a pull on your kids and on people's hearts like never before. You fight for them. And if you're friends with any kids in here or kids in the school or whatever, you fight for them with us. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. And then Pastor Gary will do a short communion, very, very short communion message, and take the elements together. But let's pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you for every one of these kids that we have, Lord God, every one of these parents, every one of the people that's here today, Lord. Would you just bless them and help them to love you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, Lord God. Stir them up, Lord God, to love and good deeds, Lord. Breathe the breath of life in their hearts, in their souls, in their minds, that would overflow, Lord. You say out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So help us, infuse us with everything that we need, Lord, to be a good parent, a godly parent, Lord God. Help us to be renewed daily, Lord God, so we can bless and protect these kids, Lord. Lord, and bless Pastor Gary as we take communion together quickly, Lord. And I thank you for him, Lord God. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen. 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 Pastor Gary, all you, sir.
Just what I was going to ask. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, man.
This might seem just a touch strange. I'm going to start a communion message with a few words about Halloween. When I was a kid, right, back when Methuselah and Moses walked the earth, actually it was back in the 50s and 60s, truth be told, and Halloween didn't have any spiritual meaning, to my family at least. You know, we just dressed up and whatever we could find around the house and tried to see how much candy we could score. But things changed somewhat in the 1960s. And that the Church of Satan, they took this as their Christmas. This was the day of the year. And that now the history of Halloween, if you go back and study it, and that it actually starts as a day, the Day of the Dead. And it was all about spiritism, people coming back from the dead, all kinds of strange things. And that now, when we decided we were going to do communion this morning, it occurred to me that there's some similarities and some differences in between Halloween and communion. And that some of the differences is that obviously people are, there's some that this is a day when they have special ceremonies. I did a little bit of studying this week. One Satanist, he got married on Halloween, and that they dedicated their children on Halloween. They took it very seriously. Now, I'm not going to get into, we don't have time to get into, you know, whether a Christian should celebrate Halloween at all. We won't get into that, but I do want to share one passage. Put some glasses on so I can read. Oops, that's not the passage I want. This is in Deuteronomy. And this is what the Lord is saying. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Pastor Darren, the last slide he shared was to pray continually. And part of that praying continually is not only talking to the Lord, but asking him to answer you and then listening to his answer. And so, you know, whether you think it's okay for your kids to dress up, even if they're dressing up as Moses, and no, this is not my Moses costume, or not, you know, I would suggest to you that we're told to flee evil, flee the devil, and that be far from him. Don't be anywhere close to sin. You know, it's not, we shouldn't be a people that that flirt with evil and that. But pray, ask the Lord whether what your plans are appropriate and that. Now, the things that, there are some similarities, though, in that a lot of people, they look at Halloween as just being a day for candy. And the truth is I think a lot of Christians look at communion as just a time, you know, I'll take bread and I'll take the cup, but it doesn't have a lot of meaning. It's not meaningful to them. And yet, just like some of devil worshipers, Halloween is very important to them. To us as believers, communion should be very, very important to us. Right? Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Think of what that means, right? We're taking his body, right? The body that was shed for us, right? You know, the passage Pastor Darren just shared, take up our cross, right? Well, he literally took up the cross, gave up this body to serve us. And we should keep that in mind when we take the elements this morning. And that, you know, his blood is shed for us, right? This isn't a light thing. This isn't a Hershey bar. This is something that's serious. And so, gentlemen, you pass out the elements now. But as they pass out the elements, I'm going to invite you to take a little bit of time in prayer. Ask the Lord to help you appreciate what he's done. Remember. Cleanse your heart. Share your life with him. And let him share his life through the elements with you. And after you've prayed, feel free, when the Lord says it's time, to take the wafer and the cup. Father God, I do pray that each and every one of us will take the solemn nature of this time and this moment to heart, Lord. We will take time to recognize the sacrifice that you made, that Jesus made, so that we can have a relationship with you, Lord. The sacrifice of his body, the sacrifice of his blood, to wash away our sin so that we might have a relationship with you. Touch our hearts now, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Thank you. stand and join with me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, Lord. We're grateful that we can pray, that we can talk to you, and more importantly, you can talk to us, Lord, and that we can listen to you. So, Father, now we thank you for this day and ask that you'd help us to be your witness in this dark and evil world that we live in. It truly is nasty out there, Father. And so help us to be bright, shining lights. I don't know, like a lighthouse, guiding those that don't know you to a safe shore. It is our Savior Jesus. And it's in his name we pray, and all God's children said. And I hope everyone has a blessed week, and we'll see you next week.